Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today's episode, we are talking about the infamous Yeti. And Shannon and I wanted to talk about the Yeti because it feels wintry, it feels cozy, it feels familiar at this time of the year. So why not talk about the famous snowman, question mark? I don't know. Today we'll talk about it. Shannon, how are you feeling about today's episode?
Hi. Today, I think the episode is timely. Mm-hmm. This is the first episode of the new year. Happy 2022.
Woohoo!
We're still recording in 2021. So if anything crazy happens between now and then, we will not know.
How spooky.
Spooky. But yeah, so it's been a while since we've done a cryptozoology episode, which is the study of animals whose existence is disputed. So I think the only other episode was Loch Ness, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you guys really loved that episode, according to our analytics. So we want to, throw in another cryptozoology podcast today.
And I am in Portland, Maine, and there is actually a cryptozoology museum here. I have not gone, but obviously I need to. But it's on, I saw it on Atlas Obscura, which is that website that you can look up whatever weird things are in whatever mm-hmm. location you are.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he has a life-size replica of Bigfoot, which is kind of like the North American equivalent to the Asian Yeti.
Yes, exactly. And we will definitely have to do a podcast on Bigfoot.
Yes, certainly.
There's a lot of research out there. And I remember watching a show that was like tracking down Bigfoot.
Is that like one of those Discovery Channel ones?
Yeah. Exactly. And have you seen, I know them, I don't want to say it's Disney, but I think it might be like Universal, Pixar's or something. There's a movie called Yeti or something like that. It's like an animated movie. It's for kids. I know, not really in our demographic, but I do remember that being a thing. So I don't know. Let us know if you guys have seen that movie.
Because we haven't.
But it's a topic. It's relevant. People are talking about it. And we're bringing it to the youth.
Is it new?
It's probably like a year, maybe 2 years old. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I think, now there's something in my head. I saw a trailer or something.
Okay. Yeah. So again, the youth is talking about it. We got to talk about it here on Bare Roots.
The youth. Okay, let's get cracking. So the Yeti, like we mentioned, is the Asian equivalent of the abdominal. His great abs.
He's known for it.
Abominable snowman. And he's said to live in the mountains. And I'm sorry I'm saying he. It could be a she. How rude of me. It's typically right below the Himalayan snow line. And the Yeti is said to be muscular, covered in dark grayish or reddish brown hair, which I was surprised by. I always thought it was going to be white.
Yeah, same.
We've been lied to this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks very much like Bigfoot then.
He really does. And I wonder if it's like, are people getting them confused, or is that truly what he's spotted at? It's like this kind of reddish brown hair.
Apparently so. He is, however, smaller than Bigfoot because he only comes in at about 6 feet high, but he weighs 200 to 400 pounds. So somewhere in that range.
Did you ever learn about him, talk about him in your time abroad?
And I'm trying to think. No, I don't think they talked about him. They did talk about like leopards and stuff that scared me because I was sleeping in a tent in Nepal and they started talking about leopards being around. I'm
like,
and big snakes and things, like, okay.
Yes, for those who don't know, Shannon did spend a little bit of time in Nepal, so very close to that Himalayan line.
Yes, I was in the foothills though, so I was the wee hills. not a lot of snow where I was. But yeah, no, I didn't hear much about them.
Okay, curious.
The Yeti stems from ancient legends and folklore of the Himalayan people. And it's a figure of danger. And basically in the folklore, the moral of the story is often a warning to avoid dangerous wild animals. Duh. Mm-hmm. And also to stay close within the safe community that you're in.
Yep.
Fun fact, Alexander the Great demanded to see the Yeti when he conquered the Indus Valley in 326 BC, but he did not get to meet him.
So fascinating. This guy, and I'm not talking about Alexander, I'm talking about Yeti has been around for a long time. Alexander the Great was trying to meet this man.
Right.
Woman. I don't know. Snowman. I don't know.
That's true. I guess they just couldn't deliver on that.
Yep.
Request. Yeah. The Yeti really became popular when Westerners started traveling to Himalayas and hiking. And that's when there was kind of, you know, like Yeti fever. People mm-hmm. were just talking about it. It was more of a local thing. And then once the Westerners came, it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
In 1921, a journalist named Henry Newman interviewed a group of British explorers who returned from a Mount Everest trip. And they said that they saw these very large footprints in the mountain, and the local guides called it the Metokangmi, which means filthy snowman, but they had mistranslated it. And that's where the abominable came in to the picture. So yeah. That's when everybody started calling him the Abominable Snowman.
Such a hard word to say.
It's such a hard word to say.
It's so hard. And honestly, that's kind of why I was surprised they made this movie for children, because our children, would they be able to pronounce that word? Like the youth?
The youth.
I'm struggling to say that word.
Well, maybe it's supposed to help them say it.
Yeah, maybe.
When else do you say that word if it doesn't have snowman after it?
Never. No, exactly. And it's just something weird. Abominable. It's the M and the I and the N, you know?
Abominable. And the B.
Abominable. Yeah, it's just like there's something funky about the word.
It's tough. It's a tough one. And I don't know why. How did that get mistranslated? How did it go from filthy to that? Because was that word just used more back in the 20s? It must have been.
I don't know. I guess they wanted to romanticize, though.
I guess so. Then a researcher named Myra Shackley, she had a description of the Yeti given by two hikers in 1942. And they saw, quote, two black specks moving across the snow about a quarter of a mile below them. And they offered very detailed description of that creature. And they said, quote, the height was not much less than 8 feet. The heads were described as squarish, and the ears must lie close to the skull because there was no projection from the silhouette against the snow. The shoulders sloped sharply down to a powerful chest, covered by reddish-brown hair, which formed a close body fur mixed with long straight hairs hanging downward. Like, okay, quarter of a mile away and you're seeing if the hair is straight.
Mm-hmm. This is quite a description.
It is quite a description. Another person saw a creature, quote, about the size and build of a small man, the head covered with long hair, but the face and chest not very hairy at all. Reddish brown in color and a bipedal, it was busy grubbing up roots and occasionally emitted a loud, high-pitched cry. So, I mean, that's not great. A scream, a high-pitched cry. If I was hiking in the mountains and I heard that, that'd be pretty terrifying.
Scary.
In 1951, one of the most notorious footprint photos ever taken was taken by Eric Shipton, and it looks like a massive human footprint, but with an extra big toe.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. And this photo spread like wildfire.
Yeah, I feel like this is probably the most evidence that we know, like in recent modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the extra toe, you know, a little funky, but interesting.
Very, very interesting. And he actually put his pickaxe right next to it for scale in the photo. And it is massive. It is a massive, massive footprint. And it's very crisp, like it had just been stepped in. It doesn't, it's not fuzzy around the edges. It is a crisp footprint. And then as recent as 2019, there has been more Yeti evidence.
Whoa.
In April.
April, oh God.
Da, 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 da.
Da, 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 da. This should be ringing the alarms for you, everybody.
In April of 2019, the Indian Army found tracks that they believed were from a Yeti and tweeted about it. And the footprints were 32 inches long and 15 inches wide, which is massive. And they were scrutinized on social media for this. And it was pretty ridiculous. Everybody was making fun of the Indian Army for putting what looked like a serious tweet on the Yeti.
Yeah.
I couldn't really find a follow-up of this.
Mm-hmm.
All of the articles on it were from April 2019. And I think I saw one at the end of May of 2019 and it said that they couldn't find any evidence that it was a Yeti. So to be fair, it doesn't look like a lot of research was put into these footprints. So it could have been the Yeti.
Yeah, it really could have been.
And they're just being made fun of. Nobody has denied it.
Yeah. Easily could be. So there's like a lot of sightings, you know, and we're talking from BC to now.
BC to 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, and I read about there was some sort of like conference on Bigfoot or something. And I only bring this up because there's a conference on Bigfoot.
You know? Really? I mean, I suppose that makes sense. Like I can see that being a thing.
I think, I don't know if the location changes, but I think I saw something about it being in Russia and they were talking about Siberia and Bigfoot in Siberia, and a lot of passionate people go and they show their evidence of Bigfoot, Yeti, what have you.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really goes to show how there's literally a conference on everything.
Yep.
Just so like, wasn't there a conference on flat earthers too? Like there's a conference for all of these things.
There's always a community for anybody.
That's right. And the internet has made that a lot easier.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I don't know, but there are some theories that we have to talk about regarding the Yeti. But first, we'll hear a word from our sponsor. Alrighty, let's talk about some of our theories. So the first theory is that the Yeti could be a large bear and it's just, you know, mistaken for a Yeti. So in 2013, there was a researcher named Brian Sykes, and he put out a call to all Yeti believers and institutions around the world, claiming to have a piece of the Yeti's hair, teeth, or tissue taken from the sighting. And people, they listened, and he received 57 samples and 30 of 6 were chosen for DNA testing. Again, just bringing the community together. Also, I'm very surprised that there were 57 samples like people have found. Just, that's a lot.
That is a lot. But also, what happened to the other 21?
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. What if the Yeti is in those 21 that were missed over?
Yeah. I wonder if it was just funky coloring or something. I don't know. Like something that they just knew automatically was not it. I don't know.
They're like, this is a piece of string. We're
definitely. Yeah. Exactly. Like maybe people are trying to pull his leg.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did with the samples, they compared it with the genomes of other animals stored on a database of all published DNA sequences. So they went in and they really did some stuff. And most of the samples turned out to be from well-known animals such as cows, horses, and bears. However, Sykes found that the two of the samples, one from Bhutan and the other from India, were a 100% match for the jawbone of a, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's some like dinosaur type of polar bear. that lived sometime between 40,000 to 120,000 years ago. Wow. So this is a period of time when the polar bear was closely related to the brown bear as a species, which is crazy.
It is crazy. And I started looking into these polar bears and they're big. Like, they're scary. They're big. But I went into a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I found this other bear that is called the short-faced bear. And this was in North America. And this guy is freaking terrifying. And I hate it. It's basically, I mean, I love pit bulls. I love pit bulls. But like, think of the short face. Like, that's kind of like the snout is pushed in. He's got long, long arms. And when standing up, he could be 12 feet tall.
Oh my God.
And if you just like, depending on your house, but like, just think of it, put it this way. If he was standing outside your house, he could look into your bedroom window from this, like up to the second floor.
Second floor. Oh my God.
Depending on the house, of course, but could totally do that. And then he had a 14-foot vertical arm reach, so he could go up higher with his arms.
Just raising his hand.
And okay, so I like, of course, went on his Wikipedia page. I was doing that, and of course. Like, what's his diet? La 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 la. And they're like, yeah, they could run 30 to 40 miles per hour, which shocked me. But I guess that's not too crazy. I guess like other bears now can do that too. So I was just dumb on that. Like, that's so crazy fast. But they said that they were completely, or they're pretty sure that they're completely carnivores, and they would take down horses. What? Like, they would take down dire wolves and horses.
And we know horses are big animals. They kind of scare me sometimes because they're like so tall.
Like, what eats a I mean, I guess wolves take down horses today, I guess.
But they have their pack, you know? Like, I don't know.
Like, this 12-foot bear, you know? I was like, how many things eat horses? Oh, God. So, yeah, you can look up some photos of that. They're pretty scary. They found a lot, I think, around you, Alina, like a lot of skeletons of these the LA area. So, that's on you.
I made the choice.
But there are also, actually, no, I could be lying about that. I made that up. I'm sorry. That I also went down a rabbit hole because that brought me to American lions, which I didn't know. We used to have like full on lions here and then also full on cheetahs here. So it's like a whole thing. But those were by you. These guys were like in Minnesota, North Dakota. They were roaming the plains.
Okay.
So complete tangent to the Yeti, but this is just another prehistoric bear that can haunt your nightmares. But anyway, back to Asia and normal prehistoric polar bears.
You know what this is giving me, Shannon? And our fans who've been listening for a long time will know. It's giving me the Greenland shark.
Greenland shark vibes.
Vibes, yes. Like, well, this old prehistoric slow, you know.
But this guy's just fast and scary.
This guy is he's fast. He's tall.
He's got long arms. Like, if you look at it, the freakishly long arms, freakishly short snout for a bear, it's just
He eats horses, not fish. You know, you see like those cute little like montages of the bears eating the salmon in the river. Like, we're talking horses.
We're talking horses. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not suggesting something on our Instagram.
Yes, you must. I'm not saying that Yeti is one of these. Like I said, that Loch Ness Monster is a Greenland shark, but this is just something to have in your back pocket of knowledge.
Exactly. Just remember that, everyone. So with that knowledge, right? You know, we're talking we're talking about this prehistoric polar bear. There were two other scientists, Mr. Edwards or Miss Edger. Actually, I don't know. Sierra Dwin.
I have no idea how to say that name.
Yeah. Sierra Dwin.
Sarah. it looks like, is that something like Welsh or something crazy?
Yeah.
Sarah Dwen? It's probably like Josh or something.
No, literally. It's probably something so simple. And Ross Barnett, a little bit simpler. They conducted a reanalysis of the same data. Like, whoa, 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 trust but verify. They said that the sample actually belonged to a Himalayan bear, which is a rare subspecies of the brown bear. And this is about like 5 to 7 feet long and is considered the largest animal in the Himalayas.
Yeah. Yeah, so they redid the prehistoric polar bear hairs, and then they found that they were actually just normal Himalayan bears. How did that happen?
Yeah, like, how did this guy mess up? I don't get it. So when we talked about earlier about the large footprint in the photo taken by Eric, we...
First term basis. First name basis. You know, shot now, by Eric. Shop our boy, Eric.
So people looked at that photo and they thought it was probably a bear as well. Mm. And at certain gates, bears place the hind foot partly over the imprint of the forefoot. So just stick with me, people, okay? So thus making a very large imprint that looks deceptively like an enormous human footprint positioned in the opposite direction.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Like, okay. Okay. Maybe. Possibly. I hear you. And there's another theory. And the theory is, could the Yeti be a rock?
When I saw you put this down, I was like, oh.
We got to talk about it, Shannon. You know, we do the hard-hitting research for everyone, you know, and they got to know what people are talking about.
This whole time he's been a rock.
This whole time. BC, you know, it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense. Definitely rocks existed back then.
Check. Did they exist back then? Check.
Things are starting to add up now, you know? So in 1986, a guy named Anthony Woolride, he was a hiker, you know, in the Himalayas, and he saw what was thought to be a Yeti standing in a snow near a ridge about 500 feet away. And he said it didn't really move or make any noise, but he did see old tracks in the snow that seemed to lead toward the figure. And so him being a good hiker, a good researcher, I don't know, he took some photographs of the creature, which were later analyzed and proved genuine. So people really thought this was a big deal. And the Bigfoot community, Yeti community came together and they saw this as clear evidence of the Yeti. Like, this was a time to be celebrating. And then to back that up, many people were like, well, he's such an experienced hiker in that region. We don't really think he could have made that mistake. But then the following year, researchers returned to where he had taken the photos and discovered that he had simply seen a dark rock outcropping that looked vertical from his position. So it was literally all a mistake.
You know what also doesn't move or make noise? Rocks.
This Yeti was so so poised and didn't move or make a noise.
I do have to say the photo is very convincing. You look at the photo, you're like, oh my god, that's the Yeti walking.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately it was just a trick of the rocks. Yeah.
They really get you all the time, you know?
Yeah, you should definitely post that photo as well, because it does look pretty good. It's just it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing to the community.
Yeah, no, the community's embarrassed.
We thought we had won this.
Finally!
But last but not least, you know, of course, is that the Yeti exists. So there is really, sadly, not a lot of info on that part, but...
The third and final theory is that he exists, but there's not much to go off of.
Yep. It's the legend, you know, like how do you fight legend? You know, something people have been talking about for years and years and years and years to come, you know? So Shannon, where's your tinfoil hat on the Yeti?
My tinfoil hat is on my head for the bear. He's a bear. I'm sorry. He's a bear. That's what he is. I just think that people probably hiking in very, very difficult terrains and, you know, snow blindness and stuff like that can make you a little crazy. Not crazy. That's a bad word. But just make you think like you might see something that you don't or mistake something.
Yes.
Or something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily.
How about you?
I agree with you. My tinfoil hat is on my head for the bear. It makes sense, especially if it's like standing up. I mean, bears can be very big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Yeti is an amazing story to tell, especially when you think about the warnings of, you know, this is really the moral of the story. Like, you want to stay close to home. You don't want to venture out because the Yeti could be out there, AKA a big giant bear.
Yeah. No, it's valid.
Yep. And, you know, I respect that. And I respect the Yeti doing its thing, you know, keeping people safe.
Just like another bear that keeps people safe.
Smokey the bear. My God, the bear's doing just the Lord's work.
They are doing the Lord's work.
But yeah, this was a fun one. This is going to be definitely like a heavy Instagram episode. Like, there's a lot of photos to be shared on the Yeti.
We've made a lot of promises today. Do you think you can deliver, Alina? Do you think you'll remember in...
I'm going to do my best into the new year. I'm going to do my best, everyone. We will try to provide you the evidence that has been talked about today.
Perfect.
Alrighty, that concludes our first episode of the year. We hope everybody had a great holiday. Happy 2022. Come out with your New Year's resolution. You know, mark your calendars every other week. You got a new Bear Roots episode you got to keep up with.
Right.
And so it's only going to get better. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys in the next episode and we'll talk to you later. Bye.